Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
You know, Pastor James, is we love to tell stories of people that have gotten their lives changed, and the gospel has that kind of power. And so, and God's no respecter of persons, rich, poor, no matter what, where you're from. And so, but we had someone that came to faith. I thought we just should share with everybody, because, you know, sometimes when somebody who's a celebrity comes to faith, everybody's talking about it. And this is somebody that for a long, long time, I think, has struggled with some doubts. But any thoughts before we show who this is?
Yes. Recently speaking to this person at your home, I realized that the transformation was possible. I believe they realized that it was going to happen, and they begin to proclaim that which we proclaim, and it's a pleasure to see prominent people come to a clear understanding of who God is. Yes.
So really, we just wanted to share with everybody, just again, another soul that's come to faith.
Soul.
Now, even Santa knows that God's not dead. Now, just told that because what you were saying, I think, and this is sincere, Santa actually told us that he's been a little down, that he's...
Yes, he said that.
Just because of the pain and all the things he encounters. So we were able to encourage him, and that's what the gospel does. And any thoughts just on the discipleship of just... Because it is a long-distance discipleship. He does live a long way away.
Yes, if any of you from out of town were wondering whether we could reach you, this should be an indication that we can. Our prayers go far, and we hope that you would leave encouraged, just like Santa did. God bless you as you hear now the word of the Lord from our own Pastor Rice.
All right, Brooks. Thank you, Pastor James. Well, Merry Christmas to you. Another year. I'm always amazed at the people that come out on Christmas Eve. I don't know why this is, we celebrate the birth of Christ, and it should be that moment. But I don't know about you, but there's something about coming together with our spiritual family that makes it even more meaningful. And I'm so glad that you're here. We will keep it brief and amazing. I'm on the clock here. So Matthew chapter 1, we've read through the book of Luke tonight in our readings. I wish we could have introduced you and given more detail. We've had pastors from Myanmar that were up here tonight, pastors from Mumbai, Menezes were up. And so not only just people locally, but people that are out planting churches in other nations. So thank you all for being here. Matthew chapter 1, the account from Matthew about Jesus' birth, it says verse 18, "This is now the birth of Jesus the Messiah, how it came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly." So you can kind of see the character of this man. Totally righteous, but yet a gentleman, very gracious, grace-filled. "But after this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet," speaking of Isaiah the prophet, "'The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel,' which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded and took Mary home as his wife, but he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus." It's an astounding fact that God is visiting, especially in the Muslim world, he's visiting people with dreams and visions, and there is an astounding amount of response because of this. In the year 2000, December 12th, 2000, Al Jazeera published a report that said that in that year before, over 6 million Muslims had come to faith in Africa alone, come to faith in Christ in Africa alone. Now, obviously, that kind of information doesn't get put out by Al Jazeera, but it just shows you that where the gospel has a fair hearing. In other words, if we're seeking truth, no matter who you are, no matter what your religious background, all of us should want to know the truth. And so we're not here tonight because this is just our tradition. If this isn't a true story, then there are other things that we could be doing on a night like this. But the gospel is news, and we don't like news that's not true, even if it makes us feel good. Don't build me up with something that's a false report. And so God speaks to Joseph through a dream and reveals himself, reveals his plan, and that's happening today. There's a young man named Nabil Qureshi who was Muslim, and he wrote a book that's a New York Times bestseller called Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus. And he started in a debate with a friend, a Christian friend, and as they got into this debate over was the gospel true, was the Quran, the Hadith, and Nabil came to faith in Christ. And even though he said, even though he knew the facts that his friend was telling him were true, he said that there was still something there that he could not step across that line. You see, it isn't just about getting all the right information. If we answer all your questions and you still have a problem, that shows that the problem you have is not just a lack of knowledge. There's something spiritual going on. You see, faith is not just about, well, I know the truth, and so therefore I'm going to respond. We all know things that are true and don't do what we should do based upon what we know to be true. We see that in our lives, whether it's our diet, whether it's other kinds of habits. And yet he asked God to give him a dream, and God gave him a dream. And now he's one of the most formidable spokespersons for Christ in the world. But I like how this passage takes us, because it says, this child will be born, his name will be Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. The name Jesus literally means salvation. Salvation to us, maybe whatever your concept growing up of being saved, it's like, well, that means I go to heaven. And heaven is certainly a consequence. It's a fruit. It's a reward. It's a blessing. But Jesus didn't come just to save us from hell. Sometimes skeptics say, well, you know, it's believe in Jesus or else. Believe in me or go to hell. I mean, what kind of gun to my head proposition is this? Jesus basically has come to save us from our sin, from ourselves. Regardless of what you think the threat levels are in our world, whether it's terrorism or if you got an overdose on Shark Week and think it's just a shark attack, whatever your particular threat of the month is, the greatest threat to your well-being and to my well-being is us. It's ourselves. There is no more empirically verifiable statement that mankind is not basically good. I hate to break it to you. I'm not here to take the 2 or 3 minutes I've got and just share bad news, because if we were good, then we would not need a Savior. Why would Jesus have come and God have condescended, as Pastor James brought out, and gone through this and then ultimately to go to the cross if we're okay? Something was wrong. You know, you could actually feed the world, I believe the World Health Organization, I think it's about $130 to $150 billion a year you could feed the entire planet. You throw in another, just to be conservative, throw in another same amount, and you've cleaned up all the water. You think about all the diseases that are waterborne diseases and things that happen to people because of just bad water. You feed the world, give them clean water for less than $300 billion. And yet we spend collectively in the world over $1 trillion on defense to protect ourselves from one another. So if man was basically good and we didn't need armies and police to protect ourselves from one another, we would not only be able to feed the world and clean the water up, but have another $700 billion left over to figure out how to move people away from tsunamis and earthquakes, because we've got the technology to kind of manage the pain that's in the world. So really, is it about why did God let this happen? Or is there something inside of us that militates away from that which can help the world? He will save us from our sins. This Savior comes to do something, and this is what he said. This is what the angel said. Because it happened to Mary that the Spirit would come upon her, the Holy Spirit will come upon her, and what is conceived in her will be of the Holy Spirit. And then it says, this was done to fulfill what was spoken. You see, the same way, in a sense, that Christ miraculously was born into the earth, and Mary would say in the book of Luke, it would record, she would say, how can this be? We can say, how can Christ really save me from myself? From me pressing the self-destruct button on my marriage or my relationships or any other endeavor that if I get and left to myself, I'm going to just blow things up. Two things, the Holy Spirit and the promises of God. You know, the same Spirit that overshadowed Mary is available to us today. This isn't about just getting a new set of rules for the coming new year to kind of straighten out our behavior and try to do better. This is about an acknowledgement that, God, I need your help. God, I need your mercy. And would you do something that's according to what your promise is? Because what we're doing today and what we're offering today is not something we just made up and hope God would bless. This is what was spoken by the prophets, announced by the angels, and then the apostles were commanded to go and tell this message that there's a new life available. Jesus said it this way. He said, unless someone is born again, they cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. They said, how can a man be born when he's old? He said, unless you're born of water and the Spirit. See, something happens on the inside of us. And all you have to do is receive it. You know, one of my grandfathers was a legendary attorney in Dallas, Texas, one of these courtroom attorneys with a Stetson hat and, you know, kind of going in and, you know, when my brother went to law school in Dallas, the old judge down in the Dallas courthouse said, are you the grandson of Double A Kern? I mean, he was Double A Kern, Armand August Kern, just this kind of Perry Mason type of guy, but he was a stubborn guy. And he said, how, what do you mean, how stubborn? Well, you could give my granddad a gift, and he wouldn't open it. In fact, he had gifts for years he didn't open. He'd just take the gift, set it aside, and then when he got good and ready. Now, you're talking about old school. That is pre-old school. And you just say to him, Granddaddy, open this gift. Just go ahead and open it. He thought he knew what was in it. Oh, I don't need to open it. I know what's inside of it. You might be surprised. You got to just let it flow. Let's open this gift. No matter who you are, no matter what your background, this is the greatest opportunity tonight to come before God and say, Lord, is what you promised still available today? Are these promises still good today? Those promises stand just as much as they stood 2,000 years ago or 2,500 years ago when Isaiah spoke. Lord Jesus, thank you for this night. Thank you for the children. Thank you for the families. Thank you for the marriages. Thank you for all those that gather. Lord, in the midst of all of the busyness and all the things that we have to do and have done and now remain for the evening, visit every home, visit every heart. Do something that only you can do. May your Spirit visit us. And Lord, it won't be just because we're simply asking. It's going to be because you promised it. It will be done. Every life that's changed, it will be done to fulfill what was spoken. That if any man or woman is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is past, the new has come. And just listen, just one more moment, because it says he will save his people from their sins. You see, you can become his child and still be bound. You can come as you are tonight. He doesn't say if you get cleaned up, then you can become his people. He takes you in just as you are, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done. But he will not leave you the way he finds you. And that's this promise. That's the promise as well. the promise of transformation, the promise of change.
You believe that word, won't we just give God a handcuff of praise? Man, praise is such a privilege because there's so many people in the world that are not even aware of Jesus. But tonight, when you could be doing a lot of things, kids could be needling their parents to open gifts already. You can be eating and vegging out. But I just thank God that we're a church and we're a community that takes a moment to pause and acknowledge the real reason for the season. They're going to come, the ushers, and light the candles. They're going to start on the right, and then you just pass the fire to the left. And just in a moment, we're going to sing together two stanzas of a song. But I want you to reflect while the song is singing of where Christmas exists. Where does it exist for you? How many love that Stephen Curtis Chapman song, Christmas is All in the Heart? Just raise your hands. See, y'all need to listen to more music. It says, even if no white snow falls, that's okay because the joy can still be found wherever you are, 'cause Christmas is all in the heart. And even if no white snow falls, that's okay because the joy can still be found wherever you are, 'cause Christmas is all in the heart. Oh, it's not in the snow that may or may not fall. And it's not in the gifts around the tree. It's in the love heaven gave the night our Savior came. And that same love is wherever you are, 'cause Christmas is all in your heart. Stand to your feet once you have your candle lit. You know, as we get ready to sing this song, I'm praying that Jesus and the revelation of who he is would come so real to you that the troubles that may be facing you somehow fade away. And the answer is nowhere on the outside, but on the inside, that you can hear him saying he's the way, he's the truth, he's the life. And even if you've chosen him years ago, be refreshed by the good news that he really is who he says he is. And it's true. On three, here we go.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, say hallelujah.
Tonight, as you're standing with your loved ones, let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, we're praying for everyone in this room that we would have a clear opportunity to understand that you're the way, the truth, and the life, and say yes to you. That we will be closer to you as a people than any other day of our life. That as we celebrate your birth, as we choose this day to celebrate it, God, it would be more tangibly real to us than any other time of our life. God, let our family be close. God, cause any conflict to dissipate. Give us the miracle, God, of a breakthrough. Remove heavy burdens and undo the yoke. God, let it be a light time, a good time. God, I'm praying for neighbors, those who may be walking in darkness. May they see the light in our house. May they see the light in our fellowship, our friendship, our knock on the door just to say Merry Christmas. God, remember those who are lost, who are still turning their back to you. God, I remind you that you came to seek and save them. Give us to be on the same mission that you're on. Bless us as we go. Bless us to know you more and to celebrate the real reason for the season, the birth of Jesus. Amen.